A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Attention. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday to you. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Scott Mitchell over here to my right. He's sitting on a nice sectional, so am I. We're at the warehouse in Salt Lake City, 1825 South, 300 West. That's where we're found. Let me see here. Tom rolled out some crazy deals. If you want to hear him again, we're going to do it again in a few minutes here. He's really jumped on to the what are the odds number jersey now, the jersey assignment numbers. It's leaked over into his sales prices, Scott. So there you go.
We like to have that influence on people.
I know. Just throw some numbers out there.
Our show permeates into their normal everyday life.
Sure, sure. No, that's the way I like to think about it too. Early odds for some of these games for BYU, and this is not for betting purposes. Okay, our bosses make us say that. Right. This is for entertainment purposes only, but it also just kind of shows you. If there are experts out there in whatever these – I mean, when they set these lines, they try to have a pretty good idea as to where these teams are sitting or what the possibilities would be, because you don't want to set a crazy line in another direction and then just go – I mean, they don't want to lose money on this thing. So they try to be pretty close. Now, the money could move one direction or another, but here are some of the ones that I was surprised by from one of these big sports book houses. And that's that Utah goes into Florida 2.5-point dogs at Gainesville. Now, you have to kind of read into this. Home games give you about 3 points. So that means that Utah might have an edge in terms of talent on Florida by 0.5 point because they only got the 2.5 from if it was 3, that'd be kind of that they were evenly set, and then the only factor that was offsetting it was the home game advantage that Florida has. So do you think that that's the correct line? Utah not favored in that game against Florida right out of the gate. I think that the real question mark is, what on earth is Florida going to be in that first game of the season?
Well, what you have – so if I look at it and say, I think Utah's the better team, probably the better put together, the more experienced team. But Florida's always got SEC talent. It's the first game of the year.
Florida talent, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It has the home crown town, the home court advantage, field advantage.
Got it.
And that's a real thing. It's a more real thing because of humidity. Depending upon if this game's played after dark, it's not
guaranteed.
Gonna be
as, it's going to be.
But if it's played in the middle of the day,
it's going to be like 2 p.m. It's going to be awful.
It'll be stifling. It really will. I'm just telling you.
You've been on that from the beginning. Like, as soon as that game was set, you're like,
I know what that is. When you play in humidity and you've never played in it, it is so real. Playing in South Florida with the Miami Dolphins, it was a massive advantage.
Would it be helpful to go out? Would it be helpful to go out Wednesday and get the kids acclimated like that?
I don't know. I don't know if going longer, because I don't know that two or three days gets you acclimated to humidity.
That's true.
You need months. It's almost like stay out of it and away from it as much as you possibly can. Conserve
till
your
you
energy
have to play it.
Till you actually have to do it. That's probably how I would do it. So I could see that. And Florida is a whole new program. So you have no idea And that can work for or against Florida. Now, down the road, I think it works against them early. I just don't think you have enough time to really put it all together. And I think Utah knows the significance of this game, knows they have to get out of the gates early, and they really have the team, you know, to get out of the gates early because they have so much veteran playing and experience on both sides of the ball. There are some positions that they're going to have to, you know, linebacker replace that, but there's a lot of experience on the rest of that defense.
Another head scratcher for me was BYU and Baylor. BYU's hosting Baylor this year. They're not going down to Waco right. like they did last year. Last year, Baylor was a 5.5-point, sometimes 6-point favorite during that week. BYU's a 2.5-point favorite in that game, hosting the Baylor Bears. The thing is Baylor, I don't know how everybody thinks that they've suddenly gotten worse, right? Gary Bohannon's not going to be their quarterback this next year. He lost that quarterback battle and transferred out. But, man, this is the Big 12 champion. These are the Big 12 champions. So a 2.5-point favorite for BYU, that to me is pretty shocking that they threw that out there. They didn't lose a ton of guys.
Well, they lost some guys. I mean, they lost this, you know, some
running back. Know, this, they lost. But the big thing was is that Baylor is still coming back with an immense amount of talent.
See, you just wonder with a team like Baylor, are they able to consistently recruit enough to compete against some of these big time programs in Texas, like Texas A&M and Texas and Oklahoma and some of these other schools that they compete against in recruiting? You know, have they established enough consistency to get those kind of recruits? Are they kind of a, you know, one and done, or they flash in the pan kind of thing? I don't know.
I mean, some of these
folks are really excited in Baylor about the coach and kind of the culture.
Sure.
What's happening there?
And I'm not super shocked by this one because I still think that we're just – but there is some guessing going on. But Oregon is a touchdown favorite versus BYU hosting them in Autzen. The Utes are a 3-point favorite going down to the Rose Bowl at UCLA. We don't even think about that. They're going down to play that's like basically their home field too. Basically the Utes' home field down too.
But the Rose Bowl, which is a great place to play,
right,
is never full, you know. So right. It's – you know, there's no crowd noise.
Unless it's the actual Rose Bowl.
It's right. It's a comfortable climate to play in. It's a good time of year. And Utah just matches up very well against Oregon or against USC, UCLA. And they always have.
USC comes to Utah, and USC, Scott, is a current favorite against Utah. Now, this one's a head-scratcher for me because it's at Rice-Eccles Stadium, which means that they get 3 points for that, basically.
Yeah.
And USC is still a 3-point favorite.
Yeah.
Which means they kind of look at USC, if all things are equal, on a neutral field, as USC being a 6-point favorite in that game. That is insane to me.
So I think if Utah played USC earlier in the year,
it'd be a line in favor of Utah.
I think it really would, just because I think USC is not, you know, they're not, it's going to take them some time to kind of figure it out. Just so many guys in the transfer portal, so many new guys. What USC will not realize, though, Salt Lake is a hard place to play. And I know Caleb Williams played in, you know, some big-time football as a freshman, but not sure that it's this kind of
– it's as hostile as they'll be playing at
anywhere.
All season long.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's worse with that closed-in south end zone.
It's gotten
a lot louder. Utah will make it very, very uncomfortable for USC.
And then finally, BYU and Notre Dame. Notre Dame coming to Vegas. This is a neutral site game, so no home team, you know, officially. But Notre Dame almost a 10-point favorite against BYU in this one. That seems insane to me.
Yeah.
Double digits. Anytime you're getting near that double digit mark on a game, because Oregon, to me, if you would have put Oregon at maybe a 9 or 10 point favorite against BYU, I'd have been a little bit more amenable to that being at Autzen versus
right.
Notre Dame coming in and being – see, this is – to me, this is that – it's the same reason that USC is getting way too much respect, I think, with that -3 against Utah coming
this
to Salt Lake.
This will be a home game for BYU.
Irish will travel tons of people.
Yeah, but so will BYU.
For sure.
They a lot of people – I mean,
I rewatched the Pac-12.
I saw Fan Fest, okay?
Oh, yeah.
When BYU played Arizona down
in Vegas, yeah.
And this is Notre Dame, and it's later in the season. It'll be nice in Las Vegas at that time. Not that that matters for the game, but just folks will show up for BYU in that game.
Do you? I rewatched the Pac-12 championship game. It was on Pac-12 Network maybe last week. And I was just watching bits and pieces of it. I was like, I was in the kitchen doing something, and I was kind of toggling between it because it was like a late night game and everybody had gone to sleep. And I was rewatching that thing. Scott, I forgot how ridiculously overly red that place was. It was as if the Oregon fans don't not travel either.
No.
But what they do is they kind of smell blood in the water. They knew what was going on with that team. They were in Salt Lake. Yeah. Some of them were in Salt Lake 2 weeks prior, and they were like, this is no good. So I watched that game, and I went, oh, my gosh, I'm watching the Devin Lloyd pick six, and they go to the crowd. And there wasn't one group of green in that whole friggin' building. No.
I remember, because we got there really early, and just watching that place fill up.
You're like, there's not like, one green.
Okay, a lot of red. A lot more red.
Oh, there's a green hat.
Wow, still filling up with red.
It's a couple like, BYU fans show up.
And then they were showing the bridge going from Mandalay Bay, and it was just a sea of red.
All red.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was like the Red Sea had parted.
It's amazing.
Here came the children of
that weekend. I think about that weekend and the Rose Bowl weekend for Utah fans. Must have just been the coolest. Yeah. Must have just been the coolest thing for them to experience as fans. So let's take the break here. We'll come back. We got more to go on the program here. We have our I've got a little story for you on. We just talked with Pete Futek about the transfer portal and about NIL, and he says that NIL is not the problem. It's the transfer portal. Well, I've got another wrinkle in there for you too. One big time program coach not real excited about some of the things that are going on with the transfer portal. We'll talk to you about it next. Stay right here with us on Rival Continues, 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.